Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
So I've been thinking, and then I started rethinking, and then I just kept thinking that I need to think about things. You find yourself in that predicament sometimes, that you're just too thoughtful, that your thoughts are just, Well, I've been following a series. It's called Rethinking Your Life, and it really, really, really resounded in my heart and mind that this is something that we could use. So, today I want to start talking about that. Sometimes we need to rethink things in our lives. And today I want to start by giving you some principles about thinking about what you think. Now, it may sound like I'm being very redundant, but guess what? I'm trying to. Because it is important that we just don't think. It is important that we think about what we think. We need to examine our thoughts and evaluate what's going on in our minds and through our minds. I just want you to think about this. You need to think about what you think about. You need to think about what you think about. Very important. If you want to think about the greatest asset that God has given you, what do you think that is? I believe the greatest asset God has given us is our minds. Our minds. There's nothing that compares to the power of your brain. Have you thought about that? I mean, your brain is such an excellent designed machine, or whatever you want to call it. It's a glob of stuff that just, wow, wow. Some people describe it as a bunch of electrical impulses and neurons and this and that. And yeah, I mean, if you look at a brain and you look at pictures and stuff and you think, that ugly thing is inside my head? Yeah, that's right inside your skull. That whatever. Some say it's 60-something percent water or whatever. Some water, huh? Whatever you want to describe it as, is the mind is just, the brain is just amazing. I want you to think about this for a second and how complex it is and how great this is. It contains 100 billion, can you think of that number, 100 billion? 100 billion neurons. 100 billion neurons. Your brain has the capacity to actually record, not just think, but record 800 memories a second for 75 years and not get tired. 800 memories per second for 75 years and not get tired. I'm just tired about thinking about it just now. It's amazing. It's something else. Hey, there's some people who say, well, we only use like 10% of our brain. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If you only use 10% of your brain, you wouldn't use your hands or your feet or your nose or your mouth or anything like that. You're probably just, the only thing that would be working is your heart. And not very properly. That's not true. And you've heard it like, oh, I'm a left brain or I'm a right brain. Well, that's been really some myth that's been proven wrong anyway in the last few decades. But people still believe it. Because I'm left-handed, I must be right brain. If I'm right-handed, I must be left brain. And the right brain contains this and the left brain does that. Well, there's a bridge between the brain, between the left and the right side of the brain that I can't remember the name now, but whoever discovered it referred to it as the Washington Bridge, okay, in New York. And it says the connection is so strong that you can barely make the difference between both of them. But the most important thing about it is that the brain is the greatest asset that God has given us other than the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? I mean, as a created human, and it's just amazing. Now, when you compare that to the rest of creation, for example, animals, they have instincts, right? They act on instincts, and you can actually even teach, you know, animals and to kind of use their brain and develop in a certain way, but their capacity is limited compared to the human. It's so limited. I want you to think about the differences, because a pet or an animal, any animal, cannot, think about the past and the present and the future the way we do. Animals don't express anything about the afterlife, right? Well, if they do, you can't understand them anyway, right? But I don't think they do. God has made us different. Remember that every single living, breathing creature was created by God and designed by God in a certain way. Just like we humans have been designed and created by God in a particular, unique way. And what is that? In the image and likeness of God. No other creature has been created like that. And I think it starts with our brains. I think it starts with what we can think. All of the saving, the memories, and all of that. Thinking about our present and decisions and the consequences. Well, of course, you don't start thinking about consequences in life until you're 25 or 26. I was being sarcastic, but somehow that kind of rings true to some, right? A young mind usually does not think of consequences the way an adult mind does. But that's another story. We've talked about that so many times. But you see, we've been made in His image. We're different. We have this ability with our brain that we can think and reason with God. Talk to God. Listen to God. You know what? I'm pretty sure if that was the same with any other creature on this earth, God would have probably revealed that to us. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to your cat. You know what your dog said about you? I mean, they're special. They're God's creation. And you know what that monkey just yelled at? Ooh. Well, parrots are amazing, aren't they? You see, well, let me just shut up. We're different. I hope you think you're different. I hope you know that you're different. You're made specifically in the image and likeness of God. And the Bible tells us that we have this ability to go through our brain and think, and not only think, but rethink. And not only rethink, but think about what we're thinking. There are so many instances in the Bible that let you know that God is also constantly thinking about you and me. Can you think of a verse in the Bible that lets you know that God is thinking about you? Jeremiah, like, I know the plans that I have for you, right? Well, look in Psalm 139 in verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You know, the psalmist is saying, wow, your mind is amazing. And what's amazing to me is that when I wake up, I'm with you. You must be thinking about me somehow. You must have me in mind. I mean, I believe that God is always thinking about you. Amen? I believe that God is always thinking about me. But I don't believe that you are always thinking about God. Because if you're like me, you are not always thinking about God. We're not. We're not. But He has given us the capacity, to be able to take every thought captive to Christ in Jesus. Well, we'll talk about that sometime later, but we have this capacity to get to know him in a relationship and to be able to commune with him. Now, of course, I told you that we were going to talk about all this mind thing and how we think. And I want to introduce today some concepts about, or let's say some truth, or some pillars, something that we can build on, something that we can build on when we start thinking of our minds and our thought life. Because your minds need to be shaped. Your minds need to be exercised, just like every other part of your body, just like every organ in your body. Your brain needs to be exercised. But we also need to bring it under control. Can you think about this? What if you allowed your hands to go out of control? You'd be slapping people silly, right? Some of you would just cross your arms and not do anything. Some of you will put your hands in your pockets and never move them from there. Some of you will probably be like that robot and remember Lost in Space? Danger, danger, danger. It'll be a danger to be around you. So what do we do? You know, things need to be in control. You control your arms, you control your hands, you control your feet. Some of us, like me, can't control our tongues. Well, I'm the only one. Because the Bible says that that is the hardest one to control, right? So you do have a problem just like I do. But control, right? We need to get them. We need to get our minds in the right directions. We need to get our thought life straight. And that's what we want to do. And we want to start on that. So let me give you some truths that we can hang on to, that we can use to build upon. Number one, my thoughts control my life. But I can control my thoughts. This is like a circle, like something weird. What do you mean? My mind controls my life, but I can control my mind. This is weird, right? But it is true. We have the power to decide what we think about. You have the power to tell your brain what to think about. Well, where does that come from? From your brain? From the spirit? I don't know, right? It does. But it's like the brain tells the brain what to do. It's like your mind tells your mind what to do. It's like the spirit tells you what to do. We know that. But even if the spirit tells you what to do, your mind decides. You decide if you do what the spirit is telling you or not. So it's a mind game, right? It is important that we rethink. This is a profound statement when you think about it. My thoughts control my life, but I can control my thoughts. That sets us apart from other creatures in the world. And that's very important to know. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks, a man, of course, a person, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. So is he. Basically, the Proverbs writer is saying, you are the sum of your thoughts. Your mind dictates who you are because of what you do and everything. And I know that this is something that, sometimes we have to understand that the Bible expresses so many truths and expresses them sometimes from a divine perspective, but also from a human perspective. You know, basically you become what you think. You are what you think. Who do you think you are? Come on, sing it. Mr. Big Stuff, right? Oh, yeah. You see, you're the sum total of your thoughts. So let's go to another verse. Check out Proverbs 4:23. And Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it springs life. Now, of course, heart, mind, very, very connected. We have to keep that in mind. And also, when a lot of times when the Bible refers to these kind of things, like wherever your heart is, you guard it with diligence and stuff. It's making something that it's your internal, your thinking, your mind. You see, because if you think about it, where does all this stuff start? It starts in the mind. Now, does it get to your heart? Yeah. But it's weird, right, that your heart doesn't have like a brain in itself. The brain is the one that controls the heart, but the heart gives blood to the brain. There's a connection there. And when you say you think in your heart, we have a great connection between our heart and mind, and you have to be careful. Basically, be careful with what you think. Be careful with what you think about, because your thoughts run or ruin your life. You decide. Run or ruin your life. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, so if this is true, then we have to think about what we're thinking. This is very true, right? If you're thinking bad thoughts, then most likely you're going to do bad stuff, or you're going to act in a way that is bad for you. If you think dumb thoughts, what are you going to do? Dumb things, right? You see, a lot of things, I'm sorry about what I did because I wasn't thinking. Oh, no, you were thinking. You were just dumb thinking, right? We try to run away from our thoughts. Oh, man, I'm so sorry I wasn't thinking. Yes, you were. You just was not aware of what you were thinking, but you were thinking. And then you start thinking about what you were thinking. You're, oh, yeah, I was thinking, right? Just thinking dumb thoughts or something like that. If you think good thoughts, then you may do good things. Now, we have to be careful, because then what I'm trying to say here, of course, I want to be careful, because I don't want you to think that the power of your mind is all you need in life. Because if that was the truth, that's what's being taught out there by so many people, like that expert in life and coach Robbins, right? It's all about your thoughts. You change your thinking, that's it. You change your life. Yes, that's true, but you have to be careful, because the only one that can truly transform a mind is God himself. So if God is not in the equation, no matter how much you try to think and change and rethink, it does you no good at the end of it all. If you think smart thoughts, then you might do smart things. But yet, you have to allow God to shape your mind. And we're going to talk about that at the end. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. So the thing is that your thoughts can run your life or ruin your life. And one of the things that really gets to me, and why I decided to do this, is because sometimes I find myself thinking something, and then it's like Paul. I do what I don't intend to do, and then I don't do what I intend to do. And that's because there's a disconnect between my mind and my behavior. Something's wrong there, so that's why I need to figure it out. Maybe it's because I allow people, media, or whatever, things in this world to influence and to be able to bring in all those things into my mind. And Satan does a great job about that. And I don't check it. I don't filter it properly. So that's what we need to do. Many problems in our lives, most problems in our lives, are simply because we allow other people or thoughts or other things to influence our minds instead of choosing better things for ourselves. So I want you to think about this. How many of you are sitting at home and you just have your door open? And how many of you keep your door open when you're at home, or maybe the front door, and you just keep a screen door or a glass door or no lock? How many of you do that? Yeah, right? You kind of like, I like the door open. It kind of brings light in and this and that. That's what we do at home. Some of you are just scared to death to have that door open. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that fear? I mean, you lived in that neighborhood 400 years. Huh? Somebody that you do not authorize is going to come in. Right? Or maybe you just don't want anybody to see you in there and they come knocking at your door. And you just want to hide and say, nobody's home. Right? Well, there's so many reasons. But yeah, but we've been taught that we need to be open-minded, and it's okay. But being open-minded doesn't mean that you're going to allow any thought to come in. Just because you come by my house and you see that either the garage door is open or you see that the front door is open and just the glass or the screen door and it's just no lock on it, that doesn't mean that you can just honky-dory come in as you please. There's a doorbell there for a reason. Announce yourself. I decide whether you come in or not. Is that the truth? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You just don't keep the door open because you want anybody and anything to just come in. You keep it open for whatever reason. Maybe you're expecting someone, right? And you just keep the door like, oh, so they, when they come, they just know to come in. But are you just going to? No. There is a reason. You got to check it, right? Even if the door is open, you want to be able to check who's coming in and filter who comes in or not. That's the same thing with our minds. That's what we need to do. But we are so bombarded by so many things and we just don't check them. And we can be so passive about our thoughts. And that's how we get into situations which are painful and hurtful, self-defeating, bad for us, things that are wrong. You see, we need to be more intentional about what goes in here and what stays in there. So that way we know exactly what comes out of here. All right? So your thoughts control your life, but you can control your thoughts. You know, so many people today are so worried about air pollution or water pollution. There's all kind of pollution. You're right. But what about brain pollution? Not many people worry about that. There's a lot of stuff that we shouldn't think or shouldn't allow to come into our brains, but it does. So I want you to think of a question. Do I really want to think about this right now? When you find yourself in a situation, whatever it is, you have to ask yourself, do I really want to think about this right now? Is this something that I need to be pondering on? Should I give the time of day to this thought? You have to check yourself all the time. Because if you don't stop and ask this question, any thought will invade your mind and do what it does best, convince you. And that's not good. Unless it's a healthy thought. You see, for example, you start getting worried. Then you should stop and think, why am I worried? Do I need to be worried right now? And your brain most likely will tell you, oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need to worry right now. Right? How many times have you found yourself, you start getting worried, and all of a sudden you come back and say, do I need to be worried about this? No, not really. So you rethink. You check that thought, and you start getting fearful. And you start asking yourself, do I really need to be fearful right now? You start getting upset. Do I really need to be upset about this right now? If you start obsessing about something, do I really need to be obsessed by this now? It's your choice. A lot of times we act upon, well, actually, no. We always act upon our thinking. You may think, well, no, because the other day I thought about doing something and then I changed my mind. Hello, what did you just do? You rethought and you changed your mind. So you did what you told your mind to do. No, don't do it. So you do what you think. That's because God made you that way and you learn that, you know, thoughts come, you check them, either you keep them or you discard them. And based on those thoughts, you act. Therefore, what a man thinketh, he is. Just like the proverb said. So you need to take control. Remember that my thoughts control my life, but I can control my thoughts. Well, let's think about number two. Any change I want in my mind or in my life must start in my mind. Any change I want in my life must start in my mind. Change starts in the brain, not in the behavior. Change starts in your cerebellum and not in your circumstances. It starts up here. It starts from the inside out. You don't change from the outside in. Because if you do that, then you're allowing something else to change you. And other than God, you don't want anybody to do that for you. And of course, God doesn't change you from the outside in. He changes you from the inside out. And you probably, like I, have tried to change so many things by changing a behavior. And I believe that there is some truth to some things that, you know, it kind of helps out. If you want to change something, you just kind of like, for example, I want to lose weight. So I need to exercise. I need to control what I eat. Now, guess what? I force myself to go to the gym, right? And the word force with capital F-O-R-C-E, with exclamation points, force myself to go. And so you can say, well, your behavior of going to the gym is changing. It's changing my body, or it's changing my mind. Maybe it's changing my mind about myself and how I feel and how I think about myself. But guess what? My body doesn't just go to the gym because the body forced itself. My mind forces my body to go. So even when you think that behavior is changing you, it is the mind that changes the behavior. And therefore the behavior, it loops up and changes your mind, right? So you start losing weight, so you start feeling better about your health. So you start doing this and it makes you think and it makes you feel different. So it's a cycle. You don't start by changing the behavior. You start by changing what you think. And you all know what Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says. Have you read that before? You probably have read it 20,000 times and know it by heart. And do not be conformed to what? To this world. But be transformed by the what? By the changing of your behavior. No, by the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. That means do not take the shape that this world wants to shape you in. Do not take the ideas of this world and make them your own. You got to change from the inside out. So notice that you have to first be transformed in order to be conformed. You will be conformed to God when you are changed from the inside out. You're going to be different. You're going to be great, but only if you're allowing God to renew your mind, rethinking, renewing, redoing, just constantly. This is an ongoing thing of every day. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 5 or you can be 500. You still need change in your life. Do you believe that? We do. We need to be renewed. And that's what we want to do. We want to get rid of that stinking thinking, right? We need a checkup. Somebody had said, you need a checkup from the neck up. We need a checkup of your head. You need to check your head. You need to check your thinking. We need to get rid of all that is no good. We don't want to be conformed to the standards of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can be conformed to the standards of God. And Jesus talked about this. You see, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, a pure heart comes from a pure mind. Once again, the heart and the mind connection. I want you to think about that all the time. Because when we see these things about pureness of heart, you cannot have a pure heart unless you have a pure mind. They go together. They go together. It's impossible. It's just that we are so accustomed to separate the heart and the mind and to think, this is where we think, this is where we love, this is where we feel. Well, guess what? You cannot separate feelings from thoughts, and you cannot separate thoughts from feelings. They go together. In other words, when he says, a pure in heart shall see God, he's saying, you know what? You are blessed when you get your inside, your mind, and your heart put right. When your heart and your mind are right, then you'll see God. So it starts from the inside out. Any change you want to make starts on the inside, not on the outside. Remember that. So my thoughts control my life, but I can control my thoughts. But then also I need to start from the inside. Number three, I can change how I feel by changing how I think. Here we go. Connection, feelings and thoughts. Feelings and thoughts. Feelings and thoughts, they go together. They have to go together. They always go together. There's always a thought behind a feeling. There's always a feeling right after a thought. So if you want to change how you feel, you got to change how you think. There are so many times in life that we're like, oh my God, I feel so sad. I don't want to feel sad. And you want to change that feeling. You want to change that sadness. Well, yeah. Well, you start in the brain. You start in the mind. Change what you think and you'll change that sadness. You got to learn then how to change your thinking because it determines how you feel. Because if you've noticed, your feelings are very resistant to your will. Have you noticed that? Your feelings are going to be resisting your will. Well, I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to grab my Bible and I'm going to read 3 chapters and I'm going to drink my coffee and I'm going to pray for an hour and then I'm going to come out of the house. And then in the morning, when your alarm goes off, you feel sleepy, tired, weary, and worried. So you snooze. And you know what happens when you snooze? You lose. Right? And then you read 3 verses on the run, spill the coffee on yourself, and prayed a prayer of, God, help me while I'm on the road and I get a ticket. Right, Billy's over there going like, oh yeah, right. Been there, done that. Huh? I don't know about you, but I have. You know, it's amazing. The will, even Jesus, when he told his disciples, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Oh, master, we will pray. They were gone. You know, the desire is there. The will is there, but you just don't feel like it or whatever. It's resistant to our will, right? And sometimes, even though you don't feel like doing something, you still do it. Mama, sometimes you don't feel like cooking, but you get in that kitchen and you do it. Oh, yeah, you do it. Sometimes, right? Sometimes you feel like killing your, spanking your children, and you don't, right? Sometimes you feel like wringing your husband's neck, but you don't. You hug him, right, around the neck. So you know, the will and the feelings, sometimes you're just not in accord. See, it's like you see a child crying, right? And what normally do you tell them? Oh, come here, little sweet thing. I'll help you calm that crying. No, you tell them, stop crying. And the kid's like, I'm trying. I want to stop crying, but I just can't. I don't feel good, right? So the feelings and the will and what you want to do, sometimes you can't force a feeling, right? But feelings sometimes force you to go against your will or whatever. And feelings, so many times, are uncontrollable. I mean, it's like, I tell people, in counseling, when people come and say, well, I feel this way, and I'm like, okay. But it's the wrong feeling to have. But you're feeling it. It's a true feeling. What can I do? Tell you, no, you're not feeling that. That's a lie, Adela. You're not feeling happy today. You're not feeling happy. Until you do, like, oh my God, I'm not happy now. No. If you're happy, and you know it, clap your hands. No. If you're happy, then you're happy. What can I say? Now, is it right to be happy or not? That's what we can explore. But one thing for sure is that you feel what you feel, and that's what you feel. You feel me? That's the way it is. So, you know... Sometimes, you know, you're feeling fearful. Maybe it's because you're feeling or thinking fearful thoughts. Mm-hmm. You may be sad, or you feel sad maybe because you're thinking sad thoughts. Yeah. Maybe you feel depressed, maybe because you're thinking depressed thoughts. Definitely. So you see the connection? You start feeling because you start thinking. You feel bitter because you may be thinking bitter thoughts. Definitely. But you can't change those feelings. What you do is change your mind and your feelings will change. Right? That's why I wrote there on the little thing that says think, feel, and then? Huh? Act, right? You think, therefore you feel, therefore you act. There's a connection. And then it comes back around. It's a cycle. But you know, let me just give you an example. You are sitting at home in front of the TV and you're watching, you know, and there's this commentator on the news. You're watching whatever channel you're watching, and this commentator is just talking all kind of smack. And you totally disagree with him. And you start feeling uncomfortable. You start feeling flustered. And you're like, this is not right. What the heck is he saying? Oh, heck no. Then you start getting angry and all the frustration. And how do you get rid of it? You just sit there. You keep watching. And you say, I'm not going to feel mad. I'm not going to get angry. No. What do? You flip the channel. The same thing with your mind. You start feeling a certain way, change your mind. Change your brain, change your thoughts. You just change it. I don't want to worry, change the channel. I don't want to be sad, change the channel. I don't want to be depressed, change the channel. I don't want to be anxious, change the channel. I don't want lust, change the channel. I don't want bitterness, change the channel. Change the thought. It works. It works. Don't resist. You see, of course, temptation may come to you in whatever way, shape, or fashion. And what do? You stand there and you say, I'm going to resist. No. You flee from it, man. You get away from it. Why is it that we're so willing to stand before temptation and not willing to stand before God? Ouch. Somebody please write that down and remind me so I can post it. Why is it that we are so willing to stand before temptation, but not willing to stand before God? We become so courageous in front of temptation and so fearful in front of God. What is our problem? Don't just stand there and resist and persist. Refocus. Put your eyes somewhere else. Put your eyes on Jesus. I can change how I feel by changing how I think. Always remember that. And I'm going to give you a couple of verses from the Bible. Psalm 42:6. The first part of verse 6 says, oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you. You hear that? I feel despair. So I want to remember you. I go to my mind and I check it. Why do I feel this way? Let me refocus. I remember you. I place my eyes upon you. I bring my thoughts captive to you. No, despair is a strong emotion if you think about it. It's like hopelessness. He's saying, but in my hopelessness, I will remember you. It's not all of a sudden you come to mind. It's like I purposely think about you, right? Because when you're in despair, you may be thinking there is no hope. There's something wrong with you. There's something that's going to happen. There's a calamity, a catastrophe, or whatever it is. And you're down in the pit. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait a second. And when you evaluate that feeling, then, whoa, you go back to your thoughts and you can change your mind. You can focus on Him. It doesn't happen naturally. You have to work at it. I turn my thoughts to God. That's a choice. I remember you. My heart is breaking. I turn to you. I'm going to be thinking about you, and I'm going to be thinking about what's breaking my heart. No, I want to think about you and forget about what's breaking my heart. I'm going to turn my thoughts to God. That's a choice. Now look at the next verse. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, when I was fainting away, when all hope was lost, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. I remembered you. I remember the Lord. Fainting away, remembering the Lord. Once again, some of us need to put that kind of verse on our refrigerator with a magnet, right? And just post it there. Some of us need to be reminded every day, when I feel like there's no hope, I will turn my mind to you. Some of us need that. And maybe we'll make it a memory verse that you commit to memory so we can take it home. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. You think you can use that verse next month? Maybe next week? Maybe right now? We could probably use it very often. I turn my thoughts. That's choice. That's what I do. And then your feelings are determined what you're thinking. Your thinking determines your feeling. Your feeling will take you to action. So if you want to act differently, don't start trying to changing your behavior. And if you're feeling some way, don't start trying to change the feeling. Start with the mind. Let's go to the next one. Number four. Every behavior is based on a belief. Every behavior is based on a belief. I think I've given you this quote plenty times before by Dr. Robert Carlin, who is the founder of the Therapon Institute. We do what we do because we believe what we believe. We do what we do because we believe what we believe. Right? It starts in the mind. It determines what I do. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. You see, every behavior is based on a belief. Anytime you do anything, you're doing it because there's something beneath. There's something inside that you may not even be realizing that you're convicted of. Something inside of you tells you some thought. Some of us call it core belief. It's at the core of your thinking of self, somewhere in there. Anytime you see anybody doing anything, whether good or bad, right or wrong, is because there's a belief beneath that, right there at the core. And all behavior is based upon these unspoken beliefs. You see, a lot of times, I don't just go out there and telling everybody, you know what, I do this because I'm a failure. I don't go out there saying to people, I'm a failure, that's why I do this. But there are many times in which my actions and my feelings, and I'm doing stuff and feeling stuff and thinking stuff that I'm not even aware of, that right there in the undercurrent, it's all going, I'm a failure, but I'm not saying it out loud. I'm not recognizing it. But all that we do, if I'm acting scared, maybe I have scary thoughts. Yes, we do. When you're acting scared, it's because you're feeling scared, and then it's because you're thinking scary thoughts, and maybe it's because somebody scared you when you were little, a lot. And I'm serious, right? How many of you are afraid of things like roller coasters? You might have had a bad experience on a roller coaster when you were little. You may not remember it. Well, I don't want to be on a roller coaster. I'm afraid of it. Why am I afraid of it? Say it. Why are you afraid of roller coasters? No, I said answer, right? Tell me the answer. I'm sorry. Because you don't like them? I don't like them. Huh? I'm afraid of heights, and you keep going and going and going. And if you find yourself that you're scared of roller coasters because you don't like heights, they go too fast, I don't have anything to hang on, I just don't feel like, oh no. And then you start thinking, and you don't think this, but somewhere deep down inside, there might be a belief driving that I'm a coward. What? You calling me a coward? No. Maybe you're not thinking it, but maybe that's your base belief down there that says, I must be a coward.
Because everybody else gets on roller coasters, they have a thrill. They laugh at it. They come out laughing and smiling. And I have to stay here and look at them when they come down. Woo, that was awesome. Why don't you get on it? You scared? Why are you scared? It ain't nothing. Next time you come in with us. Oh, shut up. Well, that's your problem. I guess you sit there and you wait because we're going to another one. I must be a coward then. You see that? You see what I'm talking about? See, maybe is it about self-esteem? Maybe something because you feel devaluated. So you defend yourself and you come up with all these things and pride because, you know, some people, it's funny, but, well, it's not funny. It's serious stuff. But there's so many people that actually struggle with pride. And a lot of people struggle with pride and they feel so proud and they feel so good about themselves. But most of the time, what they don't realize is because underneath there's something that says, you are nothing. I am nothing. And I'm battling that by performing and doing all these things to make myself look like I'm something. Because way down deep in the core of my mind, I'm thinking, I am not as good as. Think about that. Maybe somebody is insecure, but on the outside they look prideful, and it comes from insecurities. You get what I'm saying. I'm not going to keep, kicking that around. But behind everything that you do, there is a belief. Anything that you feel, there's something in your mind that is affecting it. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And when it's saying consider your ways, consider your thoughts, consider your walk, right? Consider what's going on in your mind and consider what you're doing about it. Consider your behavior. Consider what's going on and what you're doing. The way I act as a person at home, at church, in school, at work, wherever I'm at, I need to consider the way I act. And if you feel like sometimes, why do I feel so uncomfortable when I'm around this situation or certain people or at work or whatever, then you need to check your mind and see what's going on in there. What's making you feel like that? What's making you act different? Why is it that when I'm around or when I'm at or something, I act differently? What am I trying to do here? You need to start thinking about what you think before you start thinking about what you do or evaluating what you do through what you think. It's all together. Have you ever been in a conflict, in an argument? Well, I know I have more than once, right? Your spouse. And sometimes you're like, okay. We can agree to disagree. I understand your point. And, you know, it's a civil discussion. We're talking about it. But then it keeps going and going and going, and the conversation gets a little stronger, and the arguments are a little bit more defined. And as you're listening, all of a sudden, something in that argument triggers you. And it triggers your emotion, and all of a sudden, you're engaged, you're ticked off, and now you're mad, and your emotions go from 0 to 100 like in half of a second. Something just happened, and you're in an argument. And you're saying things, and you get out of control, you get upset, you get nervous, you get fearful, sweating. Oh my God, your voice is raised up, or tears are coming down your cheek, or the redness in your face. What in the world is going on here? You need to ask a question. What am I believing right now? Maybe that's the question you need to ask yourself. But no, we don't want to ask ourselves, what am I believing right now? That I'm upset, crying, yelling, and no, the most likely thing is you ask, why did you do this to me? You ask others questions. Why don't you ask yourself, right? I know, I do the same thing, guys, and I don't want to do it. Because something just triggered me. And it most likely, it's not just you. It was me with some type of undisclosed belief about myself that is triggering me. Something unspoken. Maybe you're in that argument and you may believe that the person's going to leave you. This is the end of the relationship. Well, I haven't been heard. Nobody ever hears me. You may believe that you need validation or whatever it is, and you're not being treated with respect. And we get into these arguments and conflicts, and you get upset. We need to start looking at our beliefs. We need to start looking at what we're thinking. And what am I? What is it that I believe right now that I'm feeling this way or I'm doing this? You know, if I'm telling a lie, then I need to check my mind and say, what is it that I'm believing right now that drove me to tell this lie? Well, maybe I'm telling this lie because if I tell the truth, I won't look as good. Or maybe I'm telling the lie because I have some hidden sin. Which anyway, when you tell a lie, you're not hiding your sin. You're multiplying it. Right? So you think about those things. What am I believing right now? What am I believing? What just triggered me? What is it that triggers me when I find myself in these situations? It makes me feel like a little boy or a little girl again or something that's going on. That's how you grow, by examining your thought life. You want to grow in Christ? Start examining your thought life. There's no better way than examining that and bouncing it against the Word of God. It's just it. That's what we have to do. Now, let's think about Proverbs 14:15. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. The naive could be the simple, the fool. But when you're sensible, you consider your steps. Think about what you're doing. Think about how what you're doing affects your emotions and how your emotions are stemming from your beliefs. And number five, the last one. Anytime I sin at the moment, I'm believing a lie. Remember what I told you? We do what we do because we believe what we believe. Well, I believe that every time I sin is because I'm giving way into a lie in my life. I'm actually either believing it or ignoring a truth. I'm actually either I'm believing a lie or I'm ignoring a truth. And when you ignore the truth, it's the same as believing a lie. If you think about it, you know the truth of God. But when you ignore it, it's like you're believing the lies of Satan. Anytime I sin, always believing that the temptation that I'm in is not, I'm not strong enough to withstand. A friend of mine told me that his mentor used to say, I can resist anything but temptation. Hello? Right? I can resist anything but temptation. Something's wrong there. It's either we're ignoring a truth or we're believing a lie, which is basically the same thing by omission or commission. That's what we're talking about. And this is important we understand because that's what Satan does. Satan lies to you. He wants to tempt you. And he uses the same strategy. The same strategy he used with Adam and Eve. He's never changed. He's got the same strategy. And he uses it on you and me. And it's effective still. I wonder why. If we've been given the Spirit of God. If we believe in Christ. If we say that we have been set free. Then what is wrong with us? That we keep falling into the same. Because our minds. We're not in control. It's the same thing. And one of the steps that Satan uses, and later on we're going to talk about the four steps of Satan's strategy, but one of the steps is doubt. He wants you to doubt God's truth. He wants you to doubt the truth. Because if you start doubting the truth, then you'll start most likely believing the lie. You see, that's what he does. Don't worry about it. Nobody will see it. It's not that bad. You're not hurting anyone. Oh, you won't hurt yourself. Come on, you're an adult. Right? Have you heard all of those arguments in your mind? Oh, I hear them all the time, baby. Yeah. Nobody knows. God knows. God knows. You start thinking about that. Oh, you know you'll be happy. And you know it's a lie. Everything I just said is a lie, of course. And that's all the devil does. He is a liar. Remember, we do what we do because we believe what we believe. And then we start believing these lies. And that's why we do what we surely are not supposed to do and we think we don't want to do. But if I'm not mindful, remember that God always tells the truth. Because he is truth. Satan cannot tell the truth. Jesus said that he is a liar from the beginning. He is actually the father of lies. Any lie you come up with, don't think you're the original. He's the liar. But why do we believe him then? He can't even tell the truth. It's impossible for him to tell the truth, or at least motives. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. That's what happens. It's death. You ever go down a dead end road? Where does it lead? Exactly. Actually, the title says it all: dead end. End in death. It's dead. There's nowhere to go. It's it. There's a lot of things we think that are right, but think that are good, but they're not. There's a lot of things that we think will be happy, will make us feel happy, will give us fulfillment, satisfaction, and meaning, but they don't. They're dead. They're dead ends. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen anybody continue doing the same thing, knowing that it's killing them? You think of an addict. Well, heck, let's not take it that far. Think of yourself. Think of me if you want to. Why? Because for a moment, we keep believing the lies. You see, but the addict, for example, they're believing a lie about their addiction. They're believing a lie about their habit. They're believing a lie about their lifestyle, right? That's what we do. Every sin is based on a lie. But Jesus said that the truth shall set you free. What an amazing thing. I believe lies sometimes and I fail God because in my mind, even knowing the truth, I ignore it when I'm tempted. The real problem is not the tempting situation. You know how we either blame it on Satan, right? The devil made me do it. He didn't make you do jack. You did it all on your own. He just placed it right in front of you and said, you can have it. And you just took it. It's within you. The problem is within you. Or it's society. It's peer pressure. Or you start thinking about, well, my kid is doing this. That's because of the little friends he's got. Yeah, blame it on his friends. That's what he wants. He wants you to blame it on his friends so he don't carry a blame. Have you ever done that? Have you ever blamed your friends for what you've done before your parents when they catch you? I remember when my parents caught me with cigarettes at 13 years old in my backpack. What do you think I did? My dad came to me and asked me, whose cigarettes are those? Who do you think I blamed it on? Oh, they're Edrick's, my best friend. I remember my dad turning his finger and his face towards me and saying, and why are they in your bag and not his? Because I'm a good friend. I was carrying them for him. Yeah, blame it on somebody else. That doesn't work. Has that worked? How's that working for you, right? It's like, I'm not the problem. It's him. But I am. It is me. James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his what? My friend's lust? No, by my own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth what? Life? No, death. Each one is tempted, and you are the one who responds to temptation. Well,
Again, it starts on the inside. Starts on the inside of your mind. Stop blaming circumstances for your temptation. Start blaming anybody else. It is you. It's like a magnet, right? The magnet has this pull force. All you have to do is place some metal around it, and it pulls it right in. That's what Satan does. So you don't blame circumstances. You don't blame anybody else. It is your fault. So you ask your question, what lie am I believing? Not just what am I believing now, but what lie am I believing? Maybe if I leave my wife and have an affair, I'll be happier. That's a lie. Every time. Every time. Every time. You need to ask yourself, what lie are you believing? Have you ever been fishing? How many of you like fishing? Good. How many of you actually are good fishermen? Only one dared to raise his hand. Good. I'm coming with you. Because I surely am not. Ed has proven that, but no comments right now. Finishing? No. Actually, no, that is true. Finishing is not my forte. Fishing is not my forte. You see, the only place I fish is at Winn-Dixie Lake, Rouse's Channel, Walmart Bayou. A Westwego Market Marsh. That's where I fish. I just can't fish. And if you, but I do know a couple of things about fishing. Come on, hold on 1 second. No. I do know something about fishing. The first thing I know about fishing is that if you're going to go fishing, go with someone who knows how to fish. That's the first thing I know about fishing. But there's one more thing I know about fishing. Fish. Do not bite bare hooks. They don't go for that. If you ever had that experience, you better pray and thank God for that miracle. You didn't do that. Surely you didn't. You can't just throw a hook in the water and expect the fish to go, what is this shiny thing? It's kind of cool. I'm going to go bite it. No, that doesn't work. What do you think? You have to put something on that hook, right? And fishermen who know that you put different bait for different kind of fish. You know, whatever you're fishing for, trout or catfish or whatever it is that you want. No fisherman would throw just an empty hook out in the water. Satan is the same way. He knows how to fish. He will never throw you a hook by itself. Satan will not throw you anything without bait. Because if he throws you a hook on its own, you're not going to go nibble around it. But once he puts the bait on it, he knows you're going to come and nibble. And he knows exactly when to yank and reel you in. That's what a fisherman does. And he is an authority on bait. He knows exactly what bait to place before you. He's got it in his tackle box already. He's ready. That's why you got to think about what you're thinking. Think about those lies that he presents before you. The bait, the hook. You see, the hook is not the sin. The bait is not the sin. It's you biting on it. That's the sin. Remember, if you do this, you'll feel better. If you do this, you'll be rewarded. If you do this, everything will be okay. If you do this, nothing will go wrong. But we buy these lies and this deception because we think that we got it, that we can handle it, and we don't. So it's time for us to consider. That's why it's so important that you think about your thought life. It's imperative that you rethink what you're thinking. Why? Because it's a matter of life and death. That's exactly what it is. You got to think about what God wants in your life. What he wants to accomplish. Maybe there are some changes you need to make, and they've been difficult to make because you need to rethink things. It starts in your mind.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.